Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, if you haven't voted yet, be sure you do that. You and your appropriate family and friends, there are lots of lies being spread. Look at the performance of each candidate. Was your life and our nation better 4 years ago or now? Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, you had three sick kids for a while. Are they all better now?
Actually, for the most part, they are, Colonel. Phoenix, my youngest, turned 15. He was the sickest of all of them. He had a fever of like 102 all the way up to 106 for about 10 days. But, you know, he managed to kick it and he has no more fever, very little cough. I would say that we came, we met, and we conquered whatever virus or bacteria this was. So
I love it. That's the way to do it. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the terrorist nation of Iran. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will share his warrant wisdom. Then Paul Dreesen from CFACT, that's the Committee for Constructive Tomorrow, will discuss, among other things, the impact of weather on our nation. Then we'll meet Army's Athletic Director Mike Buddy, and we'll review last weekend's Surface Academy football games, and then we'll meet another female veteran. Did you know you can support our military, veterans, and first responders just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They put the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I'm proud to be a partner with them. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Oh, and you get a free month of service when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
Hi, troops. Please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. First, the news. Take us there, Skip. Oh, wait. I heard recently, the last several weeks, that some former members of President Trump's staff, including a general who was his chief of staff, has suddenly realized that he was like Hitler. I wonder why none of these people said anything while they were working for Trump 7 years ago. Didn't they have the courage to confront him or the integrity to require him to quit and go public then? Why are they just thinking about it now? That's got me confused. Anyway, let's go to the news, Skip.
All right, Colonel. As we all know, a week ago, Israel attacked military targets in Iran with a series of pre-dawn airstrikes in retaliation for the barrage of ballistic missiles the Islamic Republic fired upon Israel a month ago. Israel said its aircraft targeted facilities that Iran used to make the missiles fired at Israel, as well as surface-to-air missile sites. There was no immediate indication that oil or missile sites were hit. Strikes that would mark a much more serious escalation, and Israel offered no immediate damage assessment. Israel deployed 100 of its top-of-the-line jets against 20 targets. Explosions could be heard in the Iranian capital Tehran, though Iran insisted they caused only limited damage, and state-run media downplayed the attacks. Iran's army said two of its troops had been killed in the attack.
It'll take a while till we know how much damage was actually done to Iran. The question is, will Iran attack again, knowing Israel will respond again, or do they not like being attacked? Stay tuned.
And the FBI is investigating the alleged leak of classified documents and working closely with the Defense Department and the intelligence community, Pentagon spokesman Major General Ryder announced late last month. Quote, anytime there's an allegation of potential unauthorized disclosures, the Pentagon is going to take it seriously, unquote. But for Senator Mike Rounds, Republican from South Dakota, the very fact that we're investigating how classified our intelligence on Israeli war preparations found its way into an Iran-linked social media channel simply confirms that something is going on within the administration. As federal officials hunt for the source of that security breach, an anonymous Pentagon official leaked another tidbit to an Arabic language media outlet. According to reports, a DOD official told Sky News Arabia, a joint venture between news outlets in the UK and the UAE, that The employee suspected of leaking the Israeli military plan to strike Iran is of American of Iranian descent and is named Arian Habatabi.
These things happen, but they happen more frequently when we have a very poor senior leadership like we do now. Ouch.
And in Lebanon, Israel is continuing its operations to destroy Hezbollah's terrorist infrastructure. The IDF said it had killed around 70 Hezbollah terrorists in airstrikes and ground operations in just 2 days. One of the terrorists killed was Khalil Mohammed Amhaz, a member of Hezbollah's aerial forces, known as Unit 127, and responsible for drone attacks on Israel. Amhaz was described by the IDF as a central source of knowledge for Hezbollah's drone attacks. On the ground in Lebanon, IDF troops found a Hezbollah weapons cache in a mosque, confiscating rifles, ammunition, RPGs, anti-tank missiles, and other weapons.
When military forces or equipment are intentionally stored in a place of worship, then there is no question that we're talking about people with no values, I mean terrorists.
And the IDF released documents from Gaza that show six Al Jazeera journalists were members of Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. The six employees at the Qatari-owned outlet held positions in Hamas, including platoon commander, head of a rocket launching squad, and a member of Hamas's elite Nukba force, which led the October 7 massacre. The documents, which unequivocally prove these individuals were terrorists, the IDF said, include personnel spreadsheets, lists of training courses, telephone books, and salary documents. These documents are just the latest of many examples of Al Jazeera journalists operating as terrorists.
The media is always in doubt, but when they knowingly employ terrorists, then this media is the enemy.
And thousands of North Korean troops have arrived in Kursk, the western Russian province partly occupied by Ukraine, ahead of an expected counteroffensive by Moscow. Soldiers from an elite unit of the Korean People's Army dispatched to the region have not started fighting alongside Russian troops, but officials predicted they would help in an anticipated campaign aimed at driving out Ukrainian forces, who seized about 400 square miles of territory in Kursk in a surprise August incursion. The soldiers dispatched to Kursk, with the first arriving late last month, came after Ukraine and South Korea warned for weeks that North Korean forces were training alongside Russian soldiers, with Ukraine estimating as many as 12,000 troops involved.
This is an escalation in this war. I believe that all non-communist nations need to help Ukraine, as it's clear that Russia doesn't plan to back down. I know that our nation is in such a financial disaster that we simply can't keep helping Ukraine. It's time for the rest of the world to step up.
And over 2 years after the death of recruit Kyle Mullen during the grueling Hell Week portion of Navy SEAL training, the Pentagon's watchdog says the service has made some changes to improve medical care and safety in the program, but that more changes are needed. The DoD Inspector General's report found that the Navy lacks a policy of the intentional use of sleep deprivation practices and should beef up the number of medical professionals it has on staff to help with the demand placed on the medical department during Hell Week. Mullen died of acute pneumonia shortly after completing Hell Week in 2022. An investigation into his death, however, also found evidence that SEAL recruits are not given adequate care, and the BUDS course, the official name for the elite training program, had fostered a culture in which seeking help in emergency situations is all but prohibited.
Military training is hard and dangerous, and should be. Our Navy's been training our very effective SEALs for generations. They know what they're doing. I'm very sorry when a military person dies in training, but that's part of who we are. Combat is very hard. We don't need to make training easy.
And active duty troops deployed to help respond to the widespread devastation caused by Hurricane Helene in North Carolina have returned to their regular missions. Earlier this month, 1,000 troops and infantry battalion task force formed from the 18th Airborne Corps and other units from Fort Liberty, North Carolina, were activated by the Pentagon to assist after Helene caused more than 200 deaths throughout the region.
Job well done, troops. Thank you for your service. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. We'll enjoy some war and wisdom. Then we'll talk weather with Paul Dreisen. At ease, troops, take a break. Suppose you were forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correll with your home defense tip of the week. One item you should keep in your bedroom at all times is a military-grade high-lumen flashlight. I've raised four teenagers, and I've learned that just because someone's sneaking in your window at 2 a.m., doesn't mean you want to shoot them. That bright flashlight will immediately blind the invader and readily identify whether they are friend or foe. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Hey, troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices up way out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel. Iran, officially the Islamic Republic of Iran, also known as Persia, borders Turkey, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and others, and the Gulf of Oman and the Persian Gulf. With a multi-ethnic population of almost 90 million, Iran ranks 17th globally in both area and population. Muslims conquered the region in the early 7th century AD, leading to Iran's Islamization. Despite the notion of a unified and consolidated community, as taught by the Prophet Muhammad, serious differences rose immediately after his death. Initially, there were multiple subsects, but quickly there became only two. The Sunnis, the traditionalist faction whose followers now constitute the majority of Islam, and the Shiites, a group that is mostly in Iran and still the most hostile. They do consider each other heathen and have over the centuries killed a great many of each other. Iran is the head nation for the Shiites and Saudi Arabia for the Sunnis. The early 20th century saw a revolution and the establishment of the Pahlavi dynasty. Attempts to nationalize the oil industry led to an Anglo-American coup in 1953 that established a monarchy. This monarch supported us against the Soviet Union during the Cold War. The monarchy was overthrown in 1979 when the Iranian students invaded and captured our embassy, and the Islamic Republic of Iran was established by Khomeini, who became the country's first supreme leader. Iran is officially governed with a presidential system, and the ultimate authority is vested in a supreme leader. The government is totally authoritarian and has attracted widespread criticism for its significant violations of human rights and civil liberties. Iran is a major regional power due to its large reserves of fossil fuels, its geographically significant location, its military capabilities, regional influence, and its role as the focal point of Shia Islam. Their 2025 election brought a conservative populist and nationalist candidate, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, to power. He was known for his hardline views, nuclearization, hostility towards Israel, Saudi Arabia, the UK, us, and other nations. And in 2013, reformist Hassan Rouhani was elected as president. He improved Iran's diplomatic relations through exchanging letters. He obtained negotiations with us, the EU, and other nations centered around ending the existing economic sanctions in exchange for Iran's restrictions in producing enriched uranium. In 2018, however, the Trump administration withdrew from the deal and new sanctions were imposed. This greatly reduced Iran's income from selling oil, thus limiting its ability to support terrorism, and brought Iran to nuclear threshold status. In 2020, we assassinated their terrorist general Soleimani, the second most powerful person in Iran. Iran retaliated against our air bases in Iraq, the largest missile attack ever on our forces. Then, our Biden-Harris administration rejoined the economic group, thus allowing Iran to get extremely rich by selling their oil around the world. This is what allows them to support terrorists in the area and around the world today. Since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, Iran has been accused of training, financing, and providing weapons and safe havens for non-state militant actors such as Hezbollah and Hamas, and other groups such as the Islamic Jihad and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. These groups are designated terrorist groups by a number of countries and international bodies. However, Iran considers them to be national liberation movements with a right to self-defense against Israeli military occupation. These proxies, used by Iran across the Middle East and in Europe to foment instability, they expand the scope of the Islamic Revolution and carry out terrorist attacks against Western targets in its regions. Its special operations unit, the Quds Force, is known to provide arms, training, and financial support to militias and political movements across the Middle East. And, as you know, about a month ago, Iran fired over 180 ballistic missiles into Israel, their first ever such attack. While most of the missiles were destroyed en route, this was a big deal. Israel has great defense against rockets. Missiles are more difficult, and we and some other nations helped in the defense against those missiles. And now, a week ago, Israel responded with multiple hits in Iran. We'll have to see where this goes. Bottom line, there's no point in discussing a peace treaty with Israel, as Iran and its terrorist neighbors have a major goal of destroying Israel. What good is a peace treaty if one side's committed to killing all the other folks? This has been happening since the current state of Israel was founded in 1948. Our real enemy and Israel's real enemy is Iran. We need to take them out. And those are my comments for today. Americans owe our freedom to the sacrifice and courage of our heroes in uniform. Did you know you can support our military veterans and first responders just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They put the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to, while giving back to our heroes. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnels to Towers, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. And you get a free month of service when you use the offer code frontlines. This is Colonel Lenny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
As a military radio show, we all know that members of our armed forces, which include reservists and military guard members, risk their lives to keep America safe. Many times, a reserve National Guard member actually makes less money while on active duty than they would in their civilian job. This is especially true for civilian government employees who are also reservists and National Guard members. According to a 2024 RAND report, about 20% of our military reserves are also civilian federal employees. So Congress enacted the differential pay statute to support federal workers called to arms. Under the differential pay law, employees, in this case reservists, get paid their full or higher salary from the federal government, and they don't have to take a pay cut when they serve in uniform. However, they're only entitled to this differential pay when ordered to perform active duty during a war or during a national emergency, which is declared by the President or Congress. Which brings us to the latest fight in the Supreme Court over the interpretation of the differential pay statute. The Department of Transportation is arguing that the law should be construed narrowly by requiring reservists to demonstrate not only that their service was performed during a war or national emergency, but that it was also connected to such war or national emergency. I have a huge problem with the Department of Transportation's stance. I spent 30 years as a reservist, and there are many times I received orders to backfill personnel at different units which were stateside and didn't specifically support a war or national emergency. But it did allow an active duty member to forward deploy in support of one of those. In one case, 50% of a Coast Guard unit was deployed in support of the Deepwater Horizon disaster. And guess who stepped in to keep that search and rescue station operational? You bet, it was reservists. I hope the Supreme Court comes down on the side of the reserve employee. And if they don't, I want to see Congress change the law. For Frontline Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really appreciated that. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Paul Dreisen from the Center for a Constructive Tomorrow. We're going to talk about weather. Then we'll talk with Army's Athletic Director, Mike Buddy. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Paul Dreisen from CFACT, the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. One of their long suits is looking at the weather, you know, things like global warming and that stuff. And since those kind of things impact our military, I thought it'd be a good idea to get a scientific look at it. You know, a look without political goals. So, welcome, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Denny.
Paul, tell us about your background. What is your background, and how does it fit into CFACT, and how did you plug into them?
Yeah, I grew up in Wisconsin, went to school there, majored in geology and biology, just kept that kind of an interest, but I discovered I couldn't do well enough in math and organic chemistry to go on and do what I wanted to do, which was oceanography. I ended up going to law school, but focusing a lot on energy and environmental issues and public policy stuff. And that's really where I ended up. It was public policy. I worked for Wyoming government. I worked for the Department of the Interior, United States Senate, got into the think tank movement after all that, and eventually hooked up with CFACT. So this has been my home for roughly 20 years, I guess. And we do all kinds of energy and environmental stuff, focuses on people and the planet. So we both have a home here on the planet, wildlife as well as human beings. And we are trying to accommodate both of them through our thinking, our policies, our public statements, and our involvement in public policy issues.
Well, I knew you were involved in public policy issues, and I knew that you were doing it from what I'd call a scientific as opposed to an emotional perspective. So I'm delighted to hear the rest of the background. Okay, let's talk weather. We sure had a big and bad experience with storms last month, and we've had them every few years. Is this, and I know that there's a lot of people, particularly at the international level and including our federal government, who are claiming that it's getting worse and the world's going to end if we don't do something about it. So can you sort of give us a weather 101 on this?
Yeah, and it's really not just weather, it's climate, long-lasting weather patterns that may go on for hundreds or thousands of years. And a good example of that is the glaciers, the glacial epochs. Five of them, five times we had these monster glaciers come down across North America, Europe, Asia, mile, 2 miles thick. That much ice coming across the northern half of our hemisphere, last one being the Pleistocene. So we had these glaciers. They pulled enough water out of the oceans to form all that ice and snow to drop the ocean levels 400 feet. We know that for the last glacier anyway, the Pleistocene glacier.
How long ago was that?
That ended about 12,000 years ago.
Okay.
So, and the interesting thing is, as I said, there were five of these epochs. And in between, it got warm and the glaciers melted. And then they came back. So the majority of geologists, glaciologists, think that we're in an interglacial period right now. We don't know how long it's going to last, but the point is these were monumental climate changes going from truly benign, nice weather where the planet thrived, lots of CO2 in the air, warmth, plants grew like crazy, and that fed the wildlife. It fed the people that were around, at least during the last glacial epoch and post-glacial epoch. But when it's really cold, you lose a lot of that, and you lose the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Point being, 12,000 years ago, the glaciers melted, and the oceans rose 400 feet once again. And they're still rising a little bit, maybe 10 inches a century. Nothing to worry about. Certainly a lot less than when the glaciers initially melted, because they dumped a lot of water back in the oceans in a pretty short period of time. Geologically speaking, nobody knows yet what caused these massive glaciers to come and go so many times. We don't understand that part of the weather and climate. But then after that, we went from 950 AD or Common Era to 1350 with the medieval warm period, where it got nice and warm, toasty, and people thrived in that. That's actually when Leif Erikson and Eric the Red ended up in Iceland and Greenland, and they found that they could grow crops in Greenland. So they had a colony there. Along came 1350 AD, and we started a little ice age, and they were driven out of Greenland. Glaciers started coming down in Europe on top of the villages again. Monks and priests went out, and bishops, to exorcise the demons of the glaciers and chase them away again. And lo and behold, 500 years later, 1850, we got another warming period. And it's been warming since then. And for climate alarmists, this conveniently coincides with the modern industrial era, fueled by coal and oil and gas. So we got more warmer temperatures again, more carbon dioxide, the planet's greening, even the Sahara Desert is greening, and we've got better crop growth. So things are good again. But the environmentalists, and I was part of that movement, I was involved in the very first Earth Day in 1970 on my college campus. They needed newer, better, crazier environmental issues than what we started with, which was just air and water pollution. We fixed those problems. So they became an entity unto themselves and wanted more and more money and power. 1975, we have Time magazine saying majority of scientists agree that Earth could soon enter a new ice age. So we had this cooling period that kept on going from roughly the 1940s, the Battle of the Bulge and so forth. But then it started warming up again. So global cooling disappeared and we ended up with global warming. And then there was a pause in the global warming. So they shifted gears again and we had climate change. So you could roll in hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, droughts, extreme weather, wild weather. And by the early 2000s, climate change was the big issue, even though the records show no upward trend in hurricane or tornado frequency or intensity. Same thing for floods and droughts. But you've got this academic and global activist, political, academic, media communities that continue to do these scare stories, the fear-mongering, and they are rewriting the history I just talked about, and they insist that these scare stories are reality. And they've got thousands of scare stories. Climate change is responsible for everything, including divorce in some countries and criminality and so on. And they want to denounce and censor anybody who disagrees with this. Keep us quiet. They want to get rid of fossil fuels and lower people's living standards and prevent the third world people in Africa and Asia, South America, from getting to the living standards we have. They have a certain amount of living standards they'll tolerate, and they want everybody to rise up to or come down to that level. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So if I can go on for a few seconds longer.
Yeah, please.
Just summarize by saying climate change is real. It's been real throughout planetary and human history. But the man-made climate crisis is not. The crisis exists in computer models. Garbage in, garbage out. They want to blame all of the climate change that we might be seeing now, the warming, any blips in the weather, on carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. And that's crazy because that was not nearly enough to cause those glacial epochs, to cause a little ice age, the medieval warm period, the Roman warm period, and so forth. Bottom line is, you see the climate crisis in headlines, computer models, scare stories, and political speeches, but you don't see a man-made climate crisis in the real world that we actually live in. So that's where we're at.
That actually makes sense, because why would anything in nature be solid, fixed, not moving? That's crazy. There's more to discuss about the weather and our world, and Paul's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillow on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's time for push-ups. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, I did before I got into my mid-80s. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Paul and I will be right back.
The U.S. is more than $32 trillion in debt, a number that is going up by the second.
Meanwhile, our country faces expanding global threats while our military readiness is consumed with unnecessary engagements elsewhere.
If we want to be safe in the future, we need to get our debt and spending under control. Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800 UCB Gold to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800 UCB Gold. That's 800 UCB Gold, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Lenny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Paul Dreesen from CFACT as we discuss weather issues from our nation and planet. And let's move towards how it can impact our military and our nation's ability to function. So, Paul, one thing I meant to ask you during the last hour is CO2. CO2 is alternately horrible or good. It just is, right?
Yeah, it's carbon dioxide. We inhale oxygen, we exhale carbon dioxide. Plants inhale carbon dioxide or CO2, and they exhale oxygen. It's a nice symbiotic relationship, and the planet can't exist without it. We're still at a very low level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, around 400 parts per million, 0.04%. So without that carbon dioxide, the planet ceases to function, because you have no plants. And if you have no plants and algae and so forth, you don't have oxygen, and we go back to primordial times. I'm not ready to do that. And 400 parts per million of CO2 is not very much. Plants are doing far better than they would at 300 parts per million, but you go much below 300 parts per million and they start starving of carbon dioxide and starving, period. The more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the less water they need so they can survive droughts better. We could talk for an hour about all that stuff too.
Indeed. Now, one of the things about that we're running into is complaint about what we generate, the pollution in the atmosphere. We've got to go to green everything. I guess we want to fly airplanes and tanks on, I don't know, wind? Sun? I don't know. None of that makes sense to me. Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Giant batteries.
Okay. How does all this make sense? What's really going on here?
Yeah, to me, it doesn't make any sense at all. We're starting again with climate change, climate crisis, scare stories, fear mongering. And they're trying to push us into a massive energy transition. They want to go to what they call clean energy, electrical energy. And the thing of it is, it's not clean, it's not green, it's not renewable, it's not sustainable. A brief synopsis is that wind and sunshine are clean and free and sustainable, but harnessing those very weak energy sources as compared to nuclear or fossil fuels, harnessing those forces of wind and sunshine takes a tremendous amount of raw materials, of energy to dig out those raw materials and turn them into wind turbine, solar panels, batteries, and transmission lines. We're talking thousands and thousands of wind turbines just for the United States, millions and millions of solar panels, 10 to 30,000 miles of new transmission lines here in the U.S., and millions of high-stress, high-power battery systems that also require enormous amounts of fossil fuels to produce. The mining would be unprecedented. We'd need more mining than we've had throughout human history up to this point just to get the metals and materials, the minerals necessary to make all that green energy equipment. And it would devastate the planet with the mining waste, the pollution. It would devastate the planet with the multiple square miles. I mean, you're looking at 10, 20, 30 square miles of solar panels in an area for one solar farm. You're talking thousands of these wind turbines that chop up birds and bats. They impact whales off our coasts in our coastal areas. So it goes on and on like that. But they want this transformation, and they want a transformation from fossil fuels to biofuels and to this other clean green energy that has these enormous environmental problems. That's bad enough for us when we're just out there trying to get by and have a job and travel from place to place or fly somewhere for a vacation, have our steak, our hamburger, our chicken, whatever we want to have, and we're being told we're living too well. We have to have a smaller home, heat it less, cool it less, eat plant-based food that they also have problems with in the long run because they don't like modern agriculture either. So it just goes on and on, but where it really gets crazy is when it comes to our military. And that's what we should talk about a little bit.
We've got a couple of minutes. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Paul, let's do it. Talk about our military, and then I want to talk some more about CFACT.
Yeah. Well, let's go back 12 years when President Obama was in here. The big story then was we're going to go biofuels for everything, our Navy, our Air Force. And they were starting to cook up all these biofuel programs for naval ships, for jet aircraft, for everything else. And they were spending $27 a gallon for biofuels for the Navy. They were spending $67 a gallon for F-22 Raptors, for camellia-based Raptor fuel. And then they were spending $400 plus per gallon for renewable diesel fuel for the Navy and the Army and the Marines. It was just insane. They were talking about having special ships that would gather up algae in the oceans and right then and there create biofuels. Well, even ExxonMobil has gotten out of the biofuels area. It just wasn't working. Nature has created all those fuels. You could call them biofuels because nature did it over a period of millions of years. And that's what we're tapping into with coal and oil and natural gas. So why do we have to reinvent the wheel on that? But now we've seen sort of a partial revolution in electricity from batteries. You charge them up. I don't know where you get the charges from, coal or oil and gas or nuclear power plants or from wind turbines and solar panels, but batteries don't generate electricity as such. They charge up electricity that's been put into them chemically. And this is what they're talking about now. They want, this is from a big military press release of a few years ago. They're talking about fleets of electric vehicles that are ready to shoulder the military's workload and slash greenhouse gas emissions over the coming decade. That's what the Pentagon is hoping it can pull off as part of President Biden's efforts to combat climate change. Tactical vehicles will first go hybrid, using a mix of fossil fuels or biofuels and electricity, before making a full transition to all electric, while about 170,000 non-tactical cars and trucks would be straight to electric. Well, this is a lot of rah-rah and PR and press that you go online about electric vehicles in the military, and you'll find all kinds of very bullish articles, not much critical about it. And they emphasize, well, these things have, they're quieter, they have a low heat signature, lower maintenance, fewer logistics requirements. Well, yes and no, because you've got logistics requirements from a lower maintenance battery, but you can't get a lot of the parts. And the more batteries and electric vehicles we have, the more mining we're going to have to be dealing with. And that mining isn't going to take place in the United States because the same military and political forces that want all these batteries and wind turbines and solar panels don't want any mining here in the United States. It's mostly being done in Latin America and Asia, mostly under Chinese auspices. So that essentially means our batteries and all our wind turbines, our solar panels, the transformers for electrical systems are all going to be made in China. We're going to be reliant on our good friends over in China and the Red Chinese Army and Navy and Air Force to provide us the batteries and the night vision gear and so forth that we rely on because we don't want to mine here in the United States.
Paul, we're about out of time. Take a minute and please, and thank you for your comments, but talk about CFACT. How can our listeners plug into CFACT?
Okay, let me get in one more point about the battery-powered vehicles. They get in an accident. They will do what other vehicles powered by battery do. They explode in chemical-fueled fires. If they get wet, especially from salt water, they go crazy and have these self-ignitions. So that's another major problem. None of these issues the military has wanted to talk about because they're all on an ideological fix of fighting climate change as part of a woke agenda that we just need to get away from. So,
thank you.
CFACT, Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. They've been around since 1985, working on college campuses since their very beginning. And in fact, they started because of some of Ralph Nader's stuff on college campuses. We have actual CFACT chapters on about 40 or 50 college campuses, some much more active than others. And the funding comes from student fees, from donations. We get virtually no corporate funding. It's mostly small donations from a lot of folks around the country and from some foundations, charitable foundations that kick in a little money here and there. So we're working on, as I said early on, people and planet. We don't want to just dedicate the planet to the wildlife and then come in with a bunch of crazy policy proposals that actually wreck wildlife habitats, mining them, destroying them with pollution, or covering them with solar panels and wind turbines. We want to have common sense energy. And for the most part today, that means fossil fuels. 80% of our energy around the world and in the United States is still fossil fuels. Another 8 or 9% is nuclear. And then there's hydroelectric, and only a very couple percent, very small percentage, is solar and wind energy.
Paul, we are out of time. How can people get in touch with CFACT?
CFACT.org. And you can find my articles there, lots of other articles, ways to get involved on college campuses and in all kinds of other activities, and a lot more material that will just fascinate you and give you an alternative perspective.
Paul, thank you. Thank you for your excellent comments, for your service to our nation and our world. I'm delighted we met, and we have to stay in touch.
We do. I would love to do that, Denny.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with West Point's athletic director, Mike Buddy. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for defense of your family and yourself, and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you'll need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code Frontlines. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.